My name is Velocity Child. Every Thursday at the stroke of midnight, step into the parlor of Fallen Woman, a weekly soiree of artists on the fringe with underground thoughts and voices shared with uncensored abandon through provocative opinions, seductive humor, candor, and song. You are listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. I'm Velocity Child, and I'm sitting here with Michael from Micah Jones.
I'm still here.
Courtney Weber.
It's me.
And Ammo motherfucking O'Day.
I'm still here, too.
Yes. So, for Micah, let's talk about those
crazy
bitches.
I'm just
going to
have you walk around with me, Micah, and make that sound.
Those crazy bitches.
Yeah, those crazy bitches you love so much. Like Claire Danes on Homeland, crazy Murder, bitches. She Wrote. You like the crazy bitches on TV.
I don't think Murder, She Wrote is a crazy bitch. I think she's a crazy dyke.
Right.
No, I just, we were talking earlier, we were talking about TV shows and how I get so pissed off when I invest a lot of time in a show and then it ends, the seasons end or the show run ends and it leaves you pissed off.
Like Lost.
But I was saying that, you know, I watched Lost because my roommate forced me to watch it because he loved it so much. And I was like, okay, 7 years, was it?
I think it's specifically what you said was you lost 7 years of your life.
Yeah, I lost 7 years of my fucking life watching that damn show. It was 7 seasons. I lost all that time for a dumbass show that went in circles and then ended in the most obvious way ever. Anyway, let's not talk about that. It doesn't deserve any press. But I was saying that I don't have cable, so I usually
I had that frustration.
I usually download my... What
was that? The TV show Carnival.
Oh, I was so mad when it didn't come back. I was like, what the
fuck?
That was amazing. There was like Twin Peaks in a car.
I liked it. I don't know why it didn't go on. But you know what?
It was too weird for the average person.
Oh, fuck average people. Who cares about them? Look at where we're at now because of those assholes.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just feel like, you know, if you're going to write a series and you're going to end it, the channels or whoever's putting it out should be required to do an ending episode for you, you know?
Yeah.
I like things to be finished.
Just
I like to finish
things. Hanging in the balance.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just talking about it's a big investment for me to like watch a show because I don't have regular TV, so I have to like find it and download it or get the app or do this to watch it, you know. And I said, and I was never disappointed with Angela Lansbury and Murder, She Wrote, and that was like 175 episodes or something crazy like that. It had so many seasons.
Who's that? Now I need to watch that.
Oh, Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
She's like the most famous straight. Lesbian who acted like a straight person for the longest
time. Is she really a lesbian?
Oh my god. I mean, friends of mine that have worked with her say yes, but
yeah.
It's never been like out.
So it's not confirmed.
It's not confirmed, but
it's confirmed.
But look at the fucking show, okay? Murder, She Wrote. She's a widow, okay? Who writes a murderous mystery book and becomes this famous sleuth. She never goes on a date. She never sleeps with a man. She never has a male companion. She's just a widow.
Yeah,
you know,
like
come
back
on.
In the day,
and
you...
all her best friends are like these pretty women, you know, it was just,
yeah,
it was like a major
like
dyke
to make
show.
It to make it convenient for a woman to just be single, let's just say, oh, she's a widow, she's so heartbroken,
right.
She will never go on a date, she'll never have dinner with a man again.
Right, it was so obvious that she was like a lesbian, you know, and she just didn't want to like lie.
Look at that photo. Hello.
Wow.
Right. Oh, look gorgeous.
Worse,
right?
Mama.
Yeah. She's amazing.
Okay, yeah.
But the funniest thing is,
yeah.
Like,
I do
these show tune musical
that
nights where I show musical videos. And one of the most popular musical videos I play is a song from Maine called Bosom Buddies. And in the movie, it's done by Lucille Ball and Bea Arthur. But in the Tony, at the Tony Awards, it's performed by Angela Lansbury and Bea Arthur. Two lesbians.
Everything is right about Bea Arthur. There's
so it's
just,
like...
I love that woman.
Yeah. So it's amazing. It's like this performance on the Tonys of two lesbian women performing. It's like the first ever, I think, all lesbian Tonys performance.
Nice.
It was great.
Yeah, I was telling him earlier, Bea Arthur
reminds
me of my grandmother that passed away. It was something about her, like her build and her just like... She was a Virgo.
Your grandmother was a man?
No.
She was transgendered?
No.
I loved
Bea
Arthur.
She was a Virgo
the...
with a mouth on her.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson roast.
Oh god.
I don't know if you saw Bea Arthur
show No, I didn't hilarious. See
that. Oh, I did. Yeah, I don't remember it, but I remember her being really funny.
Oh my god, it's priceless. She, you know, Pamela Anderson wrote one of those like kind of tell-all books. You know,
but everybody already knew. So.
Yeah. And so Bea Arthur read a really steamy chapter.
Oh my god.
I got Pamela Anderson's tell-all.
That's
funny.
Genius.
Tell me, it was hilarious.
I used to say I want to be Bea Arthur when I grow up. You know, fuck, I'm going to be Bea
Arthur
now.
Reading anything.
I'm just going to be Bea Arthur. I'm going to be a crusty old lady who doesn't give a shit. At 35, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to be Bea Arthur. That picture of Angela Lansbury, I'm
the
taking
one
that.
Is, seriously.
Yeah, I'm taking that one home tonight. She,
it's a Western.
It looks like she's in a Western. So she's leaning against a bar.
She's Ray Mae West.
There's the keg in the back. Because she is a lesbian. She drinks beer.
Yeah. What's this? Sherry.
Sherry.
Yeah.
No, I'm taking a picture home to my bed.
Seriously, folks, if you just Google Angela Lansbury pinup,
it's gorgeous.
And go to images, you'll see all these really amazing, jaw-dropping photos of her.
You'll never guess that she later did Murder, She Wrote. 100-some episodes. Look it up. How many episodes is that show?
Seriously.
When I first started,
did you
listen,
say 175?
I watched, I don't, because I watch Netflix and stuff, I like watch series, you know, so
yeah, you
I watch one and I stick
on.
With
you just
it,
keep
right?
It on.
And I got so tired of starting
damn,
new series.
Work. That's Sandra D kind of pose.
Yeah, she's doing some series
she looks
full
great
of
in that
bra action.
I just got so tired of starting a new series after 18 episodes. I was
you
like, oh
what?
God.
So,
and then I got to remember when the next season of that stupid show comes out. So I was like, I'm going to find something old
and
that
the
has
first
a million.
Two, I don't ever like the first two episodes of any new series I watch. It takes
no?
me, everybody, yeah, I don't, I just,
oh, I have to get sucked in immediately,
otherwise
I don't bother.
God,
me.
I can't, everybody's been telling me to watch the OA, and I watched the first two episodes.
I loved it.
What about Black Mirror, the first
I watched
episode?
I love, oh my
Black
god,
Mirror.
Black Mirror.
Okay, okay, simmer down now, simmer down now.
The pig and the president.
Yeah,
that's
the prime minister, yes.
The prime minister, yeah, the prime, no.
That was,
I wish they did that
but
episode.
See, that was,
oh my god.
That was a shock. Value episode.
But you know what?
There's
you needed
a lot of other episodes that are really
they're
more
so
intelligent.
Beautiful.
They are.
They're
yeah.
so well. I mean, you
that
had
are really
to,
poignant to like what's happening with them.
They couldn't have done Donald Trump in that because you had to
he
have
done
compassion
it.
For the prime minister. You had to think, okay, he's a good guy. He's trying to do what's right. If it wouldn't have worked with just somebody that we already hated, you know, because also
it wouldn't have worked with somebody who doesn't have a moral core.
Yeah, and this person was actually a very a horrifyingly selfless thing that he did, which I don't think Trump has that in him.
Yeah.
He would have killed the pig and eaten bacon and just let the princess die.
Ivanka.
Yeah, Ivanka. Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, last night I started watching the one with Drew Barrymore where she plays a zombie.
Oh, it's cute.
TV
I love
series.
It.
It's hilarious.
But
cute.
Drew Barrymore can got, not
she,
go wrong with me.
Yeah,
wait, what
her.
Is this one?
I like every
Santa
movie
Clarita
she does.
Diet. She wakes up one day and she.
Is Black Mirror?
No.
We segued, honey. You missed it.
I did. I totally got left behind.
Mama, almost fat.
I know.
I'm sorry. I really changed like.
That's okay.
It's a brand new Netflix series.
Ooh. What happened?
She knocked over a bottle.
I knocked over a bottle
of
wine.
It's okay.
It wasn't open.
Oh, it's not. It's closed.
Yeah, it's a Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
And she's married to, I can't remember that actor's name, but I like him too.
They're both
he
real
was
estate
the drug
agents.
Dealer in the movie.
Yeah,
Go.
They're real estate agents, and all of a sudden she finds out like she just has this
she
craving
starts having
for
zombie
like,
symptoms.
For like she starts having zombie symptoms like out of nowhere, but it's a comedy.
Oh my god! But the vomit.
Oh
in
my
the
god!
First episode,
it's
hilarious.
It's
I love that
so
they went over the top with it.
Oh, it was
it's
ridiculous.
So over the top.
But see, that's
ridiculous.
Drew Barrymore. She's.
I've always loved
as a
her.
Person, like as a person, she's really quirky and
yeah.
out there, and she's wild. She's one of us.
Yeah, yeah.
She's
totally
a wild
is.
Child.
Yeah. I actually met her back in like '93 when I was working at Trash and Vaudeville. It was right after her Playboy issue came out, and I sold her pink vinyl lip service pants.
Very nice.
And she was super sweet and mellow and everything.
Was
she
that like
really
was
fun.
That like not long before you started working at Blue
it was
Angel?
Around the same time, yeah.
Because yeah, I started working at Blue Angel.
She's
like literally the week
she
after.
She showed up at Blue Angel.
Well, yeah, and then she got on David Letterman's desk and
took
right
the
top
before,
off.
That was right before. I think
that
was
week,
probably
same
the same week.
Week.
It's probably
yeah.
the same week. Because I was
yeah,
not.
She was
at the
cool.
Blue
she
Angel
used to come
yet.
To Squeezebox and go to all the downtown things, and she was fun. I hung out there a couple times, and I performed in L.A. and she'd come to the show. And She's cool. She's like a cool person.
I feel like she's one of those actresses that got caught in that rom-com machine, because for women in Hollywood, it's like you have to do... People say things like Cameron Diaz or Julia Roberts or Drew Barrymore aren't serious actresses, but it's because they're in that machine, they've got to play the ditzy, flirty girlfriend. But now you see that Julia Roberts and Cameron Diaz and now Drew Barrymore are kind of aging out of that, so starting to do really interesting things with their work.
Yeah.
You know, with Cameron Diaz, when she was in that Annie ripoff as Miss Hannigan, she was hilarious, right?
Yeah.
And then some of the things that Julia Roberts has done over the last couple of years, I actually haven't seen her in a while, but in Charlie Wilson's War, she totally nailed it as this very...
Did you see it? No, I haven't seen that.
She plays this very cold-blooded but calculated married woman who's having an affair with Charlie Wilson in order to help the people of Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just like ice water in her veins and will do whatever it takes. But she's also a devout Christian. It was just this very strange thing. And I remember my dad was watching and he was like, well, she's actually kind of a good actress. And I said, well, it's because she's moved out of that phase now.
Yeah.
And she can start doing the really serious stuff. The same thing with Drew Barrymore is that she's now...
I've always loved her.
Yeah, I have
even
too.
The silly Charlie's Angels movies and all that stuff.
Or the Adam Sandler movies, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But now it's like she's got more freedom because she's moved out of that phase.
The show is great.
But that's funny that you say that, because that's not really their fault.
She also
fault.
Brought us
It's not
Darko.
Their fault.
You know,
oh,
it's the same reason like gay actors don't come out, because it's like the company behind them is like, we don't want people to know you're gay because right now you're appealing to this demographic and bringing in this much money.
Yeah.
And if you do this, we're going to lose this demographic. It's all a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
So a lot of actors can't move out of these where they find that they make the most money playing this character. So it's a bunch of bullshit, you know.
Yeah.
But that's all changing. I mean, the whole awards thing that went down, I thought it was really poignant because...
Did you see La La Land?
Yeah, I mean, I saw all the movies nominated.
Did
most
it, was
of them.
It, I haven't seen it because
it's
just,
a cute,
I don't know if
fun dance visual. It's like a music video. It's super cute.
I heard it was horribly like
cheesy.
Well, I heard it was just like
that's what I'm
a
afraid
white
of.
Person's version of like blues and jazz, and it was just like insulting.
Ah.
At least that's what I'm reading. On
well,
Facebook.
It wasn't really. A
I haven't seen it.
No, well, listen, it wasn't a story about like how jazz was created. It's a story of a white boy, if you want to label him that, who loves jazz and wants to open up his own jazz bar because he's a fan, and a girl who, you know, wants to be more than what she is. You know, it's a love story.
Yeah.
But it's like reminds me of an old movie that had like a Tom Waits soundtrack back in the, I think it was early 80s.
One from
called
the Heart.
One from the Heart. It had that kind of stylized vibe to it, but it was a musical.
Yeah.
You know, it just didn't have music accompanied. It was a musical.
Right.
It was super cute. The script wasn't anything that, you know, was going to change lives. You know,
Coppola got
it was
very, for that movie.
Yeah, that was a great movie. I loved that movie.
He got Coppola took a lot of shit for that movie.
Who cares? Coppola, he's crazy. But the movie's really creative. So it was good. But you know, in Moonlight, on the other hand, like it was not. I didn't think none of the movies nominated except for Zootopia. I thought were really good. I thought they were all pretty poignant. I thought Zootopia, being an animated film, touched on more things going on and was more
really,
about the times than any of these fucking movies that had these little one
really
subject that they stretched out into 2 hours.
Yeah. Like Sausage Party.
Moonlight was... Sausage Party was retarded.
It was brilliant. It was brilliant.
I don't say brilliant.
I think it touched on a lot of things, though. It touched on
if you
so
look,
many issues.
I did not see it.
It was sexual.
So good.
It was
religious
sexual.
Issues, though.
It touched on sex
huge
and religion, really.
Religion issues.
Yeah, but it was sex and religion, that's all.
But if you look... Yeah.
People eat food. Yeah, it was.
Well,
it was about
there was
like,
the food eating the food too.
Yeah, it was trying to be shocking, but it wasn't like the 70s animated films. I mean, those were wild sexual films.
Yeah,
this was more campy, fun. But it was fun. It was. You definitely see it if you haven't seen Sausage Party. What was fun about it is like
Zootopia.
One. I went to the movies one day because I was like, oh, I'm just going to the movies. I'm bored by myself. Walk in,
I love
and I'm like, what
myself.
Is this? Sausage Party, and then a rated R. What an animated film rated R. What? I'm gonna go see that. What animated film's rated R? I sit in there. The best part of Sausage Party is like, if we had gone and seen like Fritz the Cat or anything like that when we were young, we'd be like, oh my god, so crazy. I sat in a fucking room full of millennials. Okay, they were all college kids, and they're showing like a hot dog going to some buns. Okay,
yeah.
The hot dog
the
was
scene.
A male, and the Bun was a female character, and they go in, and everyone's like, oh my god, so embarrassed, covering their faces, giggling, like, they're 5 years old, you know? I was like, oh my god, these millennials, as open-minded as they are, like, what I love about the millennials is that when they first protested Trump, I was watching all these 20-something, mostly straight, mostly white millennials, mm-hmm. marching with signs and screaming, Black Lives Matter, Gay Lives Matter, Trans Lives Matter. That was beautiful to me because it's like, oh, times have changed. Because when we were walking for black rights, it was all black people. When you're walking for, you know, gay rights, it was all gay people. You know, it wasn't like all straight people marching with you. So to see that, people that it wasn't even their issue marching for it, it was great. But then to sit at this movie and see them giggling, I was like, oh my God. We've gone forward with our views of non-color, non-gender and all this, but we're totally sexually repressed.
Yeah.
We're going backwards with sex.
In theory,
what the fuck?
But if
why,
we see it, we can't handle it.
Why are they giggling at this? It's like,
well,
not...
Well, but dick pics, okay.
They'll send each other dick pics and all these nasty pics, but they see this movie and they're embarrassed. Because I realized, because of all these apps and the way that we cruise each other now, we're not really sitting next to someone showing our dick pic. It's private.
Yeah.
Even sending it to the other person,
your reaction,
you're still alone.
Yeah.
You don't see the reaction, nothing.
Yeah, you miss
But they're
the
all
pheromones.
Sitting in the room seeing something sexual, and it was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That was interesting, I thought.
Well, you know, that's why, that, you know, earlier when we were talking about the internet, just really quickly, I find
But back to Zootopia!
I find that, my issue with the internet and Facebook is that people that have shit to say to you, that no one's ever saying it to anyone in person.
No.
No.
It's not. It's the things that
people... None of these people would have all of these balls.
Well, they are now. They are now.
Yeah. Well, in a sense, I mean, there was a guy that I was briefly involved with for a while many years ago, and you know, he was Southern, he was in the Navy, and I was like, oh, whatever. But now, you know, he took me off his Facebook page because he felt attacked by people for speaking out against the protesters after Freddie Gray was killed, and people, you know, reamed him for it. And he's like, I'm being oppressed. And then I see him now saying things like, well, we used to have to be politically correct and not now, and there's no stopping the Trump train. I'm like, who are you? This is just awful. Like, who are you? Because something's come
but
out.
But see,
just,
there's a difference between being politically correct and being a hater.
Exactly.
I'm maybe not always politically correct, but I'm not being like, those damn niggas taking my jobs, those damn Mexicans coming over the border, you know, those spics. You know, I'm not using it to repress somebody.
Yes.
So these stupid ass people are now thinking they have free reign to be a hater. It's like, no, that's not politically correct. Is not about repressing your hatred. Stupid. It's about respecting people.
Yeah.
I mean, and now you think that you don't have to respect people. But that's what's great about Zootopia, back full circle.
Yeah.
That's what the movie's about. They're using animals.
Uh-huh. Except that it was about supporting the police state was the problem I had with Zootopia. It's about a bunny, she wants to be a police officer, and the police are the really good characters in Zootopia.
But you know what? Police are good characters in normal world, but when it's run by money-hungry corporations, they're forced to do things they don't want to do for money.
That's
but basically,
also true,
everybody,
but
I think, goes
like,
into being a cop because they want to do something good.
I have to say, my father is a retired police officer, and, like, there is nothing about my father that's corrupt.
And my cousin just became a police officer, and he is the nicest, coolest, 6'4" black guy I've ever known, you know?
Yeah.
And he is, you know, he's the one that told me, because I always hate my hometown because I was so repressed there, I couldn't wait to get the fuck out. Mm-hmm. Only because of all the fucking Catholics and all the fucking...
Where did you grow up
in? In Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay, that's right. I knew
it was
New
so
Mexico,
fucking repressive. Religion repressed me. I mean, that's why I'm agnostic now, and I just laugh at religion. But my cousin, who's like this big 6'4" straight, he's mixed, Mexican and black, but he's this big black guy, you know? And we were always buddies growing up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I go back there and I bitch and complain, oh, fucking, I can live here. These people are fucking assholes, blah, 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 blah. And he'd be like, Mikey, that's what they call me, Mikey, it's changed. You'd be surprised, it's really changed. You know, so not all cops are like monsters, you know?
No, I mean, if you want to become a cop, I mean...
They're like people.
I mean, the whole...
But I agree with you, like glorifying.
I mean, there are definitely people that I'm sure become cops to be power hungry. And
but it was more,
control.
I think it was more about the corruption.
I think there's just as many people that go into because they want to, like, help the community.
Right.
You know, unfortunately, those people are never highlighted.
No.
Yeah.
So, busy
it's,
helping
it's
the
just,
community.
It's not about individual people. It's about the system that has been unchecked and that is continually pardoned. And that is the problem. It's
that's
not
from the top
the
on down.
Philosophy,
but it's still
an issue.
That's from the top
that
on down.
Recorded.
When Trump addressed Congress and he was saying, like, we're going to stop all this corruption by no more, what is it called when they, philandering? What is the word they use that he said he's going to stop? Did you listen to his address?
Well, he's going to clear the swamp.
Huh?
He's going to clean the swamp.
Well, something like that, like with all government agencies is going to go through and there's going to be no more of a, I'm missing the word because I'm exhausted, but he's trying to clean up politics, you know, clean up corruption by people being bought off.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's weird with Trump because even when he was running for office, I got a lot of flack from my friends that were for Hillary because I would post up about Trump and say, oh, this, I like what he's saying here. You know, this sounds good to me. And then I post something Hillary and be like, what? She likes gay marriage now. This bitch was against it forever. What the fuck? Now it's convenient for her. So
yeah.
I was like just showing all the pros and cons of both
sure.
things. And I got a lot of flack from my Hillary supporters after Trump won. Like, this is your fault. Discouraging people to vote for Hillary. I was like, no, it's not. I'm teaching people to be informed. Because that's the problem we have, Trump. Not because of me, but because people watch a Fox commercial and that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, lower taxes and what? Better health care? Oh, I'm voting for him. They don't look at it. You know, they read a story like Trump is going to be the next Jesus Christ. And then, you know, the person writing it is some buttfuckasshole.com. You know, and that's news to them because it's
yeah.
on the internet. Like, they don't research anything.
Well, you know, when we recorded the You're the Whore above the Republican Party, when we were in Herald Square.
We were in Herald Square. We're on the top of this huge building.
Above.
We had this huge roof access, and we could see. We
could see the entire
Republican convention. George Bush
below us.
Junior protest.
Did you pee on them?
That was kind of insane.
On the protesters? No, we were on their side.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought these were like protests. I'm sorry, I missed
it.
Like,
no, we were literally
it
like
really
brought there
to get a lot of
TV
coverage,
we
which
like,
amazed me.
We were
because
above it.
So many people.
It was very intense to record during that.
And it was there. You
yeah.
could see
my
the,
bad. I
you
missed
could
that.
See the police beating the protesters down
yeah.
below.
No, at the convention.
So much shit was going down. It never reached the news.
People were getting arrested.
I was actually.
Right?
No, and now I know which one you're talking about. I was
yeah.
actually at that one, and I didn't see. Actually, the police were a lot better behaved than they were in Portland, Oregon. Because when I was protesting the war and protesting Bush in Portland, we were always getting shot at and
wow.
beaten up. And
that's
yeah.
interesting because they said since Trump. Portland or Oregon itself as the most violent of all the protests.
Well, that is also yeah. true, and part of it's. I remember watching the
do you
riots.
Think it has something to do with the cops as well.
It's more than that. A lot of it is about gentrification. Because when I was mm-hmm. watching the protests on TV, I saw that they were smashing the windows of a grocery store, and I know which grocery store that was. Now, when I was in college, that was the grocery store we called the Psycho Safeway, because it was where you would go and buy vegetables that were mostly rotten, and there would usually be, you know, there were usually police that were busting crackheads in there and stuff like that. I mean, it was a great place to shop.
But it's called Safeway.
I know, it was called, it's a chain. It's kind of like the A&P of the West Coast. So it was
they
should have
changed the name to Unsafeway.
Oh my God.
So anyway, it was a Psycho Safeway, and then a few years ago, it
it's
got really fancy, and all of a sudden it's become like a Whole Foods. So now it's this very fancy Safeway where nobody in that lives in that area can really
the crack cores are gone.
The crack cores are gone. It's a Whole Foods. It's a Whole Foods kind of Safeway.
Yeah.
And so when I saw they were smashing those windows, I was like, they're upset because the green food is people.
Yeah.
You know, that's what
so the green baby.
It was, and I said, no, I get it.
Gone.
This is not just about Trump. This is also about what's happening to the city that has largely been a working class city for the last 40 years and is now becoming a hot place to live, and a lot of people are being displaced. Now, no offense, some
everywhere.
Of the people I went to college, I know, right? Some people I went to college with are like, my bar's closed. And I'm like, you've been working 20 hours a week for the last 15 years. It's time to get over it and understand that you need to get a job. But then it's also a shame when there are people that are getting no-fault evictions and they just come home and there's an eviction notice on their door. Because in that part of the country, they don't have the renter's protection that we have here in New York City.
Which you don't really
so
have
So you
anymore.
Just come home, and you've got an eviction notice. That doesn't happen in New York City the way that happens in other parts of the country.
Yeah, but they move, and it's like $10.
Not necessarily. Not anymore. Not anymore.
I'm kidding.
Not anymore. You know. So it's a
no. That really is. You know, like people complain, like things are expensive, things are this, and I'm saying, well, you know, we got to start with real estate. That's where it all starts. You know.
Yeah.
A&P isn't going to charge $5 for a hot dog unless they're paying $10,000 a week
exactly.
on rent.
Yeah,
exactly.
You know, and that's where the problem starts.
There's
and
A&P?
That's where Giuliani fucked
yeah.
up.
A&P still exists.
We're talking about something else important here. You can get your Boone's Farm wine anywhere. So, the problem is that, you know, real estate's getting out of control, and that's something that Giuliani started in New York, and I hate to say it, but New York kind of sets the precedent for what happens nationwide, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
this is like the big mecca city of the United States. The biggest, you know, the most famous, the most popular, the, you know, anything that happens in New York, you make it here anywhere. So it's like when things happen here, it trickles down everywhere. And what happened was Giuliani got rid of, first off, he opened up all of Manhattan to corporate businesses. There were very strict rules that only a certain amount of corporate franchises could go into areas.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we only had the one Kmart and the two 7-Elevens and, you know, a few things here and there. It's not that they didn't want to come to New York because it was not a market. It was because there was laws. That's why you had more mom-and-pop businesses and more people thriving.
Why it was like a real New York
it was
city.
Yeah, it was like people that actually lived there in the neighborhood worked in the neighborhood. They didn't come all the way from the Bronx to work at Starbucks in Soho,
yeah.
you know? So when he got rid of that, all of a sudden these huge corporations started getting who had money behind them where the mom and pop store was only paying $5,000 a month rent. The, you know, CVS could pay $25,000 in rent. So after Giuliani did that, that was the end of it for everyday people, for the
mm-hmm.
common people.
What got me was when he took the art off the sidewalks. You know, you could walk down the East Village and just there'd be artists selling their art right there on the sidewalk. He got rid of all that. Like, who gets rid of art? Why would you?
That's
like my battle now with things
that's
like Airbnb
culture.
And
why would
Uber
you get rid of
and
culture?
All these things that they're trying to fight, because these are things for the common people like you and I to make a living and have an opportunity to make more money or save money
or
benefit. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to stop us from all this stuff. They're trying to stop all this progression of getting back to a place where you and I have an opportunity to have a good life, you know?
Yeah, yeah, right.
Instead, they're basically,
we don't have to work
they're
the
trying to put things, listen, it's not a race thing anymore, but they're trying to put things back to slavery. It's just paid slavery. So we're not working for free and being whipped and
like
and killed
two
and
of Black
raped.
Mirror season one.
Yes. We're being paid
exactly.
shitty wages
yeah,
to work
sure.
at shitty places
yeah.
run by all the people with money. So right. all the people with money are just opening up businesses wherever they want, hiring all of us for shit money, who can't live in the neighborhoods where this fucking store is, so we have to commute 2 hours to go to this shit job and make shit money. And that's the problem right now, I think, with America. And if Trump really wants to do something, shut the fuck up about people's bodies, about people's genders,
stop
about...
Stop tweeting about Meryl Streep.
Stop being a bitch.
Yeah.
Stop being a bitch and really do something to help
sad.
The economy. Because every time these Republicans get in office and say lower taxes and more jobs, it's not that much lower taxes for us, but a lot lower taxes for the rich.
Mm.
And the jobs they give us are shitty Starbucks jobs for the shitty rich people's companies that they're opening up.
But there are some parts of the country where that shitty job is a blessing.
Okay, listen, I had this argument with someone before. Yes, of course it is. But if you're not a dumbass in a shitty part of a country who wants that stupid Walmart job, you would be an entrepreneur and have the opportunity to drive an Uber, to open up an Airbnb, to do these things.
So when I was in Western Pennsylvania, so my husband and I stopped in this town in Western Pennsylvania, and we were just trying to buy lunch. This was a former mill town, and there is nothing going on there right now. Let me finish what I'm saying. So there.
No.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Not in this Trump era. You don't get to say what you want.
Oh, that's right. I have a vagina.
Okay.
So
a vagina.
I thought I saw something earlier.
I know that was mine.
I'm a nasty woman.
So we stopped. We could not find a restaurant. I mean, this place at one time was full of homes that at one time had been really beautiful, and things were falling apart, and things were boarded up, and there was nothing open to even grab a bite to eat. We found a bar. We walked inside, and I must have looked like fucking Carrie Bradshaw walking in my t-shirt and blue jeans. And they were all looking at me like, "Where the hell you come from?" And the bar was full of people drinking and smoking at 2 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. And
well, that's the problem.
That's well, there's nothing else to do is the thing.
There's always something else to do.
In that town, no. Seriously, it's true. There's nothing going on.
But see,
and
that's another problem, too, because they took all our industries and sent them away.
Exactly. But so you've got these people that are still there. You know, everybody here knows that moving is expensive.
Right. Right.
We say, go to some place that has money. You have to have money to move.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a thing.
Hello.
And so I went to, we finally found a place, and I've been an anti-fracker for 10 years.
A what?
I have been an anti-fracking, like I'm against hydrofracking. I've been to the
wait,
fracking,
hold on. What?
Hydraulic fracturing, like... natural gas fracking.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've been against that for a long time because it's terrible for the environment. It does not support the economies. I've been to the places where they say it's going to bring jobs. It does not bring jobs. Whole other topic. So I've been fighting this for years. And so I was sitting there with my husband, and I said to him, after we had seen this town and see what people are going through and the giant Trump signs, and I said, sweetheart, I get why someone lets someone frack their farm now. It's going to poison their well. They're going to get cancer. And they're only going to get $10,000 for it.
Hey, that's going to make a great movie.
Right?
Is Julie Roberts available?
Yeah, she's going to play the farmer lady. In the
very airbrushed.
But it's like, I said, I get it now. I don't agree with it, but I get why someone's doing it. These people are desperate. And so, and so they've been living in this, they don't feel, maybe they don't understand why this whole system isn't benefiting them. And so they're thinking, well, if we just had a different president in power, then things would be different. If we had a different party.
Yeah, I understand
power,
why he was voted
true.
In.
Yeah,
I totally
exactly.
understand it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it's such an American thing to be lazy and expect someone else to save the day. You know, people fucking came from China, from all around the world to America for a better life. They fucking had nothing and rode on a fucking boat for months to get here or whatever. But these Americans stay in their shit town where there's nothing left because the mail closed. Bitch, get up, look for another job in another city, move on.
But that's what we're talking about.
You know,
that's,
but this is what I'm talking about.
Move,
like, we can't have it both ways. We can't sit there and argue that we want someone to save the day and then complain
I don't think Trump was
when someone comes
in. I
don't
think
oh, let's
Trump
not get into that.
Election.
He's elected and he's the president.
Why,
that's
why,
not
I mean,
what happened, though.
Yeah.
That's
I,
old
but
news.
Actually, I agree with Velocity.
But,
that,
but he's in.
Not, but,
I think that's all Russia.
Yeah. But it's also
that's all
but it's also that idea is that people just need to get up and find a job. And there's this town where there's nothing and you don't have anything to
you
do.
You leave the town.
But
even though you're
no,
poor.
You don't have the money.
Do you think
you
people that
go?
Came here from somewhere else had anything? They
that
came
was a
with
different
nothing.
Time. That was a different time.
But what I'm saying is there's a way to do it. I have friends that have moved here with nothing.
Well,
but these like...
Well, I gotta say though,
it's not that easy, but I'm saying there's
you
a.
You gotta admit, where there's a will, there's a way.
Well,
right.
the witches is one thing, but
I'm not saying
don't know
it's
how to do
possible,
the work,
but I'm saying it's not impossible.
No, it's not
and
impossible.
And I'm tired
saying
of lazy
so,
Americans.
It's not just not laziness, is what I'm saying. It's not just labeling.
Oh, so if I all of a sudden the bar I worked at, which has happened 20 times in my lifetime, closes. Or goes out of business, I'm supposed to be like, oh, they closed
no,
the bar I'm working
not.
At.
But,
what am I going to do?
But if it's like,
you
if,
go and move on. I've done every fucking job in a bar. I've managed. I've done every job I can. And I'm moving on, learning more jobs, learning more things. Because that's life.
But here's the
but
story. Is that
if,
it's not,
if, it's in a, if you're in a shit town where there's where the mine, like there's a lot of coal towns too. Coal mining towns that had an industry there. The industry closed and people stayed and now they're poor and they don't know what to do. You can't stay there where there's not an industry. You have to somehow make it happen to go somewhere. Stay with a cousin, an aunt, a relative in another city where there's opportunity.
But
it's
just even the money to get on the bus to go. I mean, you're talking about the bar closing. You're right, but there might be, there's another bar in town. But when all the industry closes in the town, there's not another industry to go to.
Giuliani closed almost the entire nightclub industry here. There were more nightclub workers by...
Oh, yes.
There
was
20 to
that
every one job. So there were no jobs. So it did happen to a lot of us here.
Yeah.
But we went on and got other jobs. Waiters, bartenders, actors, dancers, whatever we needed to do to make money. You know,
because
that's why things like Uber and Lyft and Airbnb and things like that are important.
Because there's other options within the city, but we're talking about towns where there were no other options. There wasn't another restaurant.
We're going in a circle here. Leave the town. That's what I'm saying. If that's the only industry there and it closes, you gotta leave. You're going to stay in a ghost town with tumbleweeds and complain that there's nothing for you to do and no life there? There is no life there. You have to go.
But if you don't have the money to get on a bus, then where are you, what are you,
you walk.
Going to do? Okay, then you walk.
You have
many,
a friend.
How many celebrities
you call a relative.
Are from, like,
would you like a shot of
town tequila? In the middle of nowhere?
Somebody helps you, you know? No, don't get mad at me. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just saying,
I've
you find a way out.
People
you don't just complain you don't have money. There's been plenty of times in my life I had not a dime, and I'm still here.
I know this is a
and that's
point
not
of
because
for you.
That's not because I waited for somebody to help me.
Yeah.
That's because I asked for a favor, I reached out for help, I did something to make help me get there. So people are not helpless. They're survivors. They can do it. But these Americans that industries close, things change, and they don't change with it, it's no one's fault but their own that they weren't prepared for it. We're not all rich, but you've got to be prepared for changes in life. Life changes. And we have this in this administration now because everybody wants someone to save them. People in my family, too, that I argue with. And I'm like, if you want change, you've been saying you want to leave this city for how long now? You make enough money to be able to save, but you don't save? That's your own fault. You know, so I just feel like these people that we want to help so badly, because yes, shit has happened to them, monsoons hit, things happen, you know, but there is always help out there if you want it. There's always a way out. You cannot just make the excuse that, oh, that industry died, what are these people going to do? You know, like you can sympathize with them, but you have to understand people need to take charge. They need to do it. That's my opinion.
I know it's your
opinion. I like your wanting to help people and wanting
well,
to
that's
be sympathetic.
Not what I'm, that's what I'm
no, but
I'm
be sympathetic
it,
to them and say, I see,
you know,
their situation.
Yeah.
But I've seen worse situations and people come out of it, you know?
I think it's complicated.
Very.
So, and just to just one solution of just move is not enough.
And
no, that's
is,
not that's
does,
not
what
the
what
one solution.
Micah, what is,
I'm saying
what
fine.
For Micah's t-shirt say?
Yes, I was trying to read that all night.
Yeah.
Simplicity is the state or quality of being simple. In some uses, simplicity can be used to imply beauty, purity, or clarity. Simplicity is the ultimate sophistication. I like that. Where'd you get that?
I don't know. Some store. Some franchise. Some franchise.
That's
all they have here now.
Me for
they have no. I think maybe like one of those stores like Zara or Macy's or.
Thanks.
The man, the store of the man.
Thanks. I'm just going
to. On
look,
sale, 70%
well,
off.
I found it ironic because you were saying it's complicated, and I look over and his shirt is full of
simple. It's simple. Move.
Yeah.
You know what? I think if it were that simple, I think more people would have done it.
No, I think people
you
have
know?
Families and they have all this stuff they have to worry about,
yeah.
But if you're staying in a situation that is endless,
some people aren't
nowhere,
able to compromise, though. Like,
you
know,
have to do
not
it.
Everyone, like, I've gotten myself out of hairy situations. I've been put in those spots too, and you know, sometimes you gotta get on the pole.
Sometimes you gotta suck a dick.
Literally.
Yeah.
Literally get on the pole.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what crime's for God's sakes. To get you out of a bad situation.
Exactly.
No, but you know, she looked at me like, what? Maybe.
Do what you gotta do.
No, but you know, I've always had that attitude, like, you know, do what you gotta do. And I'm not
hustle
saying
and
go
flow.
Still and I'm saying hustle, you know, find a way. You know, find a friend, take out a loan, have somebody who believes in you, you know. I know there's a lot of, listen, my family, they will never move from my hometown. You know, they always live there, but they hate it. They don't
where's
feel like
I'm
that in the
so broke
New Mexico.
Suck
New Mexico.
A dick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's their choice though, because they have many ways out. But if you wait, I'm sure all these people in the mines knew trouble was a coming, trouble was a brewing, a storm was
winter
headed
is
in.
Coming.
Winter
nobody
is coming.
Nobody likes change. You know?
Nobody. I don't.
Nobody
I've lived in the same apartment where I hate for 13 years because I don't want
to
move.
Have a job,
fear when it comes
like,
to
like, I can't
change.
Imagine living in the middle of the country
or
having a job
the same town
for 20
up
years
in your whole
and
life,
then that job
your whole
not
history's
there.
There,
yeah.
Your family's
and
there.
And what are you
going to
do?
I can't fathom the house that your daddy built is there.
And because the way they're raised and you know, in the middle of nothing. It's like they're not raised to have the motivation to get up and move somewhere else.
Yeah.
Like they're surrounded by other people that are.
Listen, I'm not. I don't want to seem like
a
monster
bubble.
Here. Like I don't
no,
care
but,
about people in bad situations because I do. But I just am a firm believer in life takes you where you need to go as long as you're open.
Yeah.
To try new things and take risks and. Go out there and
is
get
that, that's
what
an
you
Aquarian
want.
Quality,
you'd be amazed at what
so.
You can
he's
accomplish if you have mind to it.
Yeah.
You'd be amazed at what you can accomplish if you want something bad enough.
What is your rising and moon for, Mike? I'm curious.
You know, my mom doesn't really know the exact time I was born at, so she gives me an estimate. She's like, I don't remember. I'm like, what do you mean you don't remember? You had me with a nursemaid, natural childbirth. You told me it was like the most painful experience of your life, and you had all my sisters at the hospital on an epidural. And you don't fucking remember what time that horrible experience was?
Probably because she was in so much pain, she can't. She's not like, oh, I'm sorry. I need to check my watch because my son's going to want to know what his rising sign is.
So much for natural childbirth.
The only reason I know my rising sign is because there's a picture of me like fresh born, screaming my face off. The doctor's holding me by the clock.
Oh, brilliant.
So, 2:05.
That's awesome.
2:05.
They're like, this bitch is going to read tarot. She needs to know.
She needs to know. And I'm like,
my mom thinks it's sometime in the morning. So, my friend wants
10 a.m. is always a good guess. Just 10 a.m.
She said it was like between 6 and 9 or something.
Then just
like
say 7:30 a.m.
So,
yeah.
So I tell people like 7.
Enough, right?
But I did have a friend do my chart once, and I think he said that like I was a double Aquarius with a Capricorn moon.
Oh, that would explain.
That feels everything.
Especially the Capricorn.
So I've got a lot of Democrat in me, but there's a little Trump. But there's a little Republican.
Capricorn moons can do, when they set their mind to it, they can do anything. But some Capricorn moons completely.
It was fucking Aries.
Completely what?
Completely
Aries.
Implode?
They implode. It depends on what's going on. So Capricorns,
I don't think so.
Cap moon.
They're either really, really good at what they do, or they never, ever can get out the front door.
Yeah.
And that's just a thing. My mom is the kind of Capricorn where if you give her the plan, she will make it happen. But I've met a lot of Capricorns over the years that they're
Aries.
Like, I can't.
April
20th. See, my mom's half and half.
Well, that's right. We should have known that. April 20th. That's like, that's the alt-right.
420. It's also 420.
Jesus. Well, we need it. We need it.
Hitler was born on 420.
There's good reason.
He's also a vegetarian.
Oh, Jesus.
All right. Well, before we end this, I just want to tell everybody listening, if you're down and out right now, don't get discouraged. Don't think I'm being mean and I don't care about you. Reach out to people that love you and somebody will help you out. I trust you. It comes from sometimes the most obscure, strange place. When I was young, I was doing drag. I looked like a gorgeous dominatrix. And I had this guy. I had this guy that put out Adventures of Gwendolyn books and Betty Page books. That was his. He published these. And he became fascinated with me. We became friends. I was getting evicted from one of my apartments because I couldn't afford to live there. And he paid for me and my roommate. He spent like $6,000 to pay for me and my roommate to move and get a new apartment.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't expect it. I didn't ask for it. And yes, later on, there were reasons why he did it, which I was like, you're crazy. Sorry. But, you know, but it came from somewhere. And, you know.
That's you?
It came from somewhere. So. Just know that if you're a person who is out there doing their thing and living your life and not doing it at the cost of anybody else, you're building up all this great juju and karma that if you need help sometime, it's going to come to you. So don't be afraid to go out and get it and look for it. And just don't be embarrassed to tell people you're down and out, because that's one of the biggest things that people do is they're too embarrassed to say it.
Right. Too proud.
Don't be proud. Yeah. Don't be proud, because I guarantee you everybody's been there before and they're going to be sympathetic to it. And we don't need some loudmouth asshole in office to help us out. We need each other. We need each other. Black, white, gay, straight, trans, whatever. We need each other.
And that's a beautiful note to send everybody out on.
So don't do something.
Yeah. But before we do go out, I want to ask everybody each, where can we find you in cyberspace? What are you interested in people looking at when they Google
Well,
you?
I've been told by all my more famous friends than me that I need to get all my social media followers up, because I don't even think I'm at 2,000 or 3,000. So you can find me anywhere. All of my social media is usually NYC for Micah with a K. So you can find me on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook at NYC for Micah.
Fantastic.
And I'm not really doing anything. I just post a lot of smack about the administration and what's going on.
Well, you're in love right now. That's why.
Because I used to have this really great gig, but this old bitch retired, so. I'm jobless. I'm going to have to leave the country. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. There's no more work for me. Help me, Trump!
Oh,
yeah. He's not going to help anyone. That's the big joke. He's
Call
not going to help
Trump,
anyone.
KKK.
Not the people in Pennsylvania, not here. That's just sad.
Yeah.
And Courtney Weber, where can we find your mad skills online?
I live in people's computers.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can find me on your Facebook page, or you can find me on Twitter at The Coco Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And my website is thecocowitch.com. I blog, and you can contact me for tarot readings. Moving to Oregon in 2 weeks, so
exciting!
I know. So I do a lot of readings by phone and Skype, or if you're in the Pacific Northwest, I might be able to arrange something in person. And
so if you do Skype her, don't be shocked that Coco is actually white.
I am.
Okay.
I am.
She's
called,
a ginger.
It's a little
too.
Misleading.
Is it? I never
no,
thought about that.
I just like that.
Yeah, it's just short for
It's like Madonna. Before the videos came out, they all thought she was black. And Boy George, too, I think they thought he was a black woman.
Yeah.
And then they saw the video and they're like, what is that?
Yeah.
It was the first trans on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they call me Coco because my parents' foreign exchange student was from Argentina.
Mm-hmm.
And my name, Courtney, is really hard for native Spanish speakers to say because the R and the T.
Yeah.
So it's usually Courtney is what they usually end up saying. And then my cousin, Mandy, was like, I'm going to start calling you Coco. And Cynthia from Argentina thought that was so funny. She goes, Coco, Coco. And it just stuck.
You're like, it's international.
It's international. Now she goes, Coco, Coco, don't die.
Coco is also a wonderful magical ingredient.
Yeah, it is in everything. So, anyway.
Do you snort it or smoke it?
I like to sprinkle it into candle wax.
Yeah.
Oh.
I
That's
can
so
rub
fun
it on
about
my skin.
Sprinkling a candle wax.
Depends on what the candle's
for.
And speaking of witchcraft, Ammo O'Day.
So you can find me at ammooday.com, at thefitnesswitch.com, Ammo O'Day on Facebook. I'm also teaching. I start teaching my full moon yoga classes at the Alchemist Kitchen on March 12th. You can find it on Facebook or on their website. Please get a ticket if you want to come because there's a very limited, I think, 15-person class. But I will be doing them monthly from this point on.
Fantastic.
And also just look for the dragonflies.
Exactly.
Yeah. The queen of the dragonflies.
She's the dragonfly whisperer.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for being here.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Give us a toast.
Cheers.
Hello.
I'm Velocity Child,
yeah,
and
you are.
We have been listening to Fallen Woman on Radio Free Brooklyn. And if you like what you hear and you'd like to support local independent media, please give us a little donation. We can pledge as little as a dollar a month, and you can find that at www.radiofreebrooklyn.com/pledge. Good night.
She stands before you naked. You can see it, you can taste it, but she comes to you light as the breeze. You can drink or you can nurse it. It don't matter how you worship, as long as you're down on your knees. So I knelt there at the Delta, at the Alpha and the Omega, at the cradle of the river and the seas. And like a blessing come from heaven, something like a second, I was healed and my heart was at ease. Oh baby, I've waited so long for your kiss, for something to happen. Oh, something like this. It's dark and it's snowing. Oh my love, I must be going. The river is
Trump. to me in my voting booth. I'm nasty like the battles my grandmothers fought to get me into that voting booth. I'm nasty like the fight for wage equality. Scarlett Johansson, why were the female actors paid less than half of what the male actors earned last year? See, even when we do go into higher paying jobs, our wages are still cut with blades sharpened by testosterone. Why is the work of a black woman and a Hispanic woman worth only 63 and 54 cents of a white man's privileged daughter? This is not a feminist myth. This is inequality. So we are not here to be debunked. We are here to be respected. We are here to be nasty. I'm nasty. Like my blood stains on my bed sheets. We don't actually choose. Some of us would. We don't like throwing away our favorite pairs of underpants. Tell me, why are tampons and pads still taxed when Viagra and Rogaine are not? Is your erection really more than protecting the sacred, messy part of my womanhood? Is the blood stain on my jeans more embarrassing than the a few extra cents? It adds up to the pile of change I have yet to see in my country. I can't see. My eyes are too busy praying to my feet, hoping you don't mistake eye contact for wanting physical contact. Half my life I have been zipping up my smile, hoping you don't think I want to unzip your jeans. I am unafraid to be nasty because I am nasty, like Susan, Elizabeth, Eleanor, Amelia, Rosa, Gloria, Condoleezza, Sonia, Malala, Michelle, Hillary. And our pussies ain't for grabbing. Woman, you love one who is, let me hear you say, hell yeah.